Bible Truths, Chapter 1, The Eternal God. We wish to consider, if grace and ability may be given, some of the more important truths which are set forth in the Scripture of Truth, as it is called in the prophecy of Daniel, Chapter 10, verse 21. Being the Word of the living God, and a revelation of His mind and will, it declares what is the truth concerning himself and his creatures. How important, then, it is that we should be rightly instructed in these truths. They will affect us, not only in this life, but throughout eternity. Who is sufficient for these things? We earnestly desire to be led into the truth, and not be left to darken counsel by words without knowledge, nor to put stumbling blocks in the way of any, but rather be enabled to take them out of the way. In the first place, we have to consider the truth concerning God Himself. And oh, what a vast subject to attempt to enter upon! It was asked of godly Job, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know?" Chapter 11, verses 7 and 8. We can only seek for the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, that we may say the thing that is right of God. Job 42, verse 7. He is the eternal God, Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, the everlasting God, Genesis 21, verse 33. He is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out, Job 36, verse 26. He is most high forevermore, Psalm 92, verses 1 and 8. The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, Isaiah 57, verse 15. Yea, he is the true God, he is the living God, and an everlasting king, Jeremiah 10, verse 10. Even Nebuchadnezzar had to say of him, "How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation," Daniel 4, verse 3. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, Micah 5, verse 2. Therefore one day is with him as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day, 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Well might the apostle say, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory for ever and ever. Amen. Who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. What poor, finite, puny creatures we are in comparison with so great and glorious, so infinite and holy a being. What need we have to stand with holy awe in reverence of his majesty and greatness. By the mighty power of his word, he spake all creatures into being, and man as the chief of those in this lower world. Although infinitely sufficient in himself, not needing any creature to add to his own happiness and eternal felicity, yet he condescended to make man, having first of all prepared the lower creation for him to inhabit. Hence, he has a right to our all, and by his holy demands, that we should love and serve him with all our mind and heart and soul and strength. How different are the idols of the heathen and ungodly, having within themselves some consciousness that there is a God whom they should serve and reverence, and having lost the knowledge of the true God, the ungodly make to themselves idols which are no gods, and bow down to them. The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman, to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Isaiah 40, verses 19 and 20. One cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things. Jeremiah 10, verses 3 through 16. This is the true God, and being a spirit, he must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. John 4, verse 24. And not with men's hands. Acts 17, verse 25. We may think that we are not idolaters, as were the heathens, and would scorn the idea of bowing down to gods of wood or stone, or even of gold and silver. But we may be as much idolaters in ways more subtle and unperceived. Anything that has a supreme place in our minds and affections, so as to usurp the place which God should occupy, becomes an idol to us. It may be ourselves, or some relative or friend, or some possession that we hold very dear, something that our hearts are set upon obtaining, that engrosses our thoughts, affections, and activities day and night. How many things there may be which make us just spiritual idolaters. This great God, of whom the scriptures speak, is the maker and ruler of all things, our author and creator, he in whom we live and move and have our being, to whom we owe all that we possess. He dwelleth on high, and in the light which no man can approach unto. We cannot behold his face and live, so great is his glory. He is altogether beyond our comprehension, a glorious being, without beginning or end, without any limitations, self-existent and possessing life in himself, full of goodness, wisdom, power, majesty, holiness, and love. Just and right is he, and without iniquity, despising not any, and no respecter of persons. His wrath and anger are fearful to bear, and his favor and approbation are to be desired above all things. To be banished from his glorious presence is hell, and to be with him forever and swallowed up in his glory is heaven. The heathens have had gods many and lords many, but the true God is one in nature and in essence. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. He is incapable of any increase or extension, or of any change or division. He is one God, always the same and infinitely perfect. If we could suppose that he were capable of any change, it would follow that at one time he would be more perfect than at another, which is impossible, because he is always infinite perfection. Yet, although one in nature and in essence, he subsists in a plurality of persons. This the scripture makes very evident. Even at the creation, the plurality of persons is indicated in the words, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness," Genesis 1, verse 26. So also at the building of the Tower of Babel, it is said, "Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad, Genesis 11, verses 7 and 8. Nor are we left in doubt as to the number of this plurality of persons. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one, 1 John 5, verse 7. Throughout the scriptures, this trinity of persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, are revealed as distinct in their persons, and yet one in nature and purpose. The properties and actions of real persons are ascribed to each of them. The work of creation is according to them each. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1, verse 1. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, by whom also he made the worlds, Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3. Thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created, Psalm 104, verse 30. So also in the great work of salvation, each person has his own part to perform. God the Father chose a people to himself and sent his beloved Son to take human flesh and to suffer and die for them. And the Holy Spirit proceeds from both the Father and the Son to quicken them into life and sanctify and make them meet for the eternal inheritance. Them that are sanctified or set apart by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called by the Holy Spirit, Jude 1. So also in the benediction, each person is referred to distinctly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The ordinance of baptism is also to be administered in the name of the Trinity. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28, verse 19. What a great and holy God, then, is he with whom we have to do. How solemn is it that we are the creatures of his making and accountable to him as to how we live here. May grace be given us to seek to know him, to believe that he is and what he is, even a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is a just and holy God, and will by no means acquit the guilty. Yet he has provided a way whereby the greatest of sinners, who are brought to repentance and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, may be eternally saved. The Father sent the Son to die. The willing Son obeyed. The witness thou to ratify the purchase Christ has made.